And now, it's sports time. Featuring forecasts, plot synopsis, character studies, explanations, and interviews. Making sports accessible to everyone, from the diehard to the hardly interested. With your host, Ezra Fisher, it's the Dear Sports Fan Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to America's favorite game show that no one has ever heard of. It's Pitch That Game. Here's how it works. I'm going to take about a minute to pitch each of the NFL football games from this weekend, and after that, you can mark off a little piece of paper at home and say whether you're interested or not. That's it. Why would we play a game like that? Well, it's a good way for you to quickly learn about a set of games to see if you're interested in watching any of them. Let's get started. Sunday, October 11th, 2015, 1 p.m., there's a bunch of games. The first one is the Buffalo Bills at Tennessee Titans. Back in the good old days of the NFL, quarterbacks were expected to spend several years on the bench, learning their craft from coaches and more established quarterbacks before getting their chance to start. In the past 15 years, that practice has broken down in favor of high-profile college quarterbacks who come straight out of college and start from their very first professional game. This game offers a rare chance to compare models. The Titans quarterback, Marcus Mariota, is one of those highly regarded rookies starting right away. The Bills quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, is a rare modern example of a quarterback who spent his first 4 years in the league as a backup and is only now getting a chance to start. Both players have played really well this year, and I expect that to continue today. The second game is the Cleveland Browns at Baltimore Ravens. If you've followed the NFL even casually over the last 15 years, you probably think of the Cleveland Browns franchise as the epitome of ineptitude, and the Ravens as pretty much a model franchise. What you might not know is that the Ravens came into existence in 1996 when the then owner of the Cleveland Browns decided to move his team to Baltimore. As part of a settlement with the league, the city of Cleveland got to keep the Browns' name and was promised a new expansion team to take the old Browns' place within a few years. The Browns returned to Cleveland in 1999 and have seemed star-crossed ever since. It's no wonder that fans of the new Browns love to hate the Ravens. The third game is the Chicago Bears at Kansas City Chiefs. This is still at 1 p.m. on Sunday. This game features a pair of tragic figures at quarterback. The Chiefs quarterback, Alex Smith, has football figured out. He knows where and when to throw the ball and who to, but he often doesn't have the arm strength to actually get the ball there in the time that it needs to get there. The Bears quarterback, on the other hand, Jay Cutler, he's the exact opposite. He once claimed to have the strongest arm in NFL history. He actually might, but it's paired with a lack of awareness, both about football and his own ability, that leads him to make costly mistakes all too often. The fourth game is the Seattle Seahawks at Cincinnati Bengals. It's sometimes said that the NFL stands for not for long. This clever backronym describes how difficult it is to maintain consistent excellence. The Seahawks have been to the last two Super Bowls and made the playoffs in all but three of the last dozen seasons. That's almost an unprecedented stretch of success. It looks like it may finally have caught up to them this year. They're fighting the drop-off, though. After starting 0-2, they won two close games to even their record at 2 wins and 2 losses. They'll face a tough battle in this game against the undefeated Bengals, who look exactly as unbeatable as their record would suggest. The St. Louis Rams travel to the Green Bay Packers to play, also at 1 p.m. The Rams traveled to Arizona last weekend and gave the then undefeated Arizona Cardinals their first loss of the year. They'll be trying to do the same thing to the Packers in this game. The Packers are 4-0 and seemingly invincible, thanks to the quarterbacking mastery of Aaron Rodgers. The best way to neutralize a great quarterback like Rodgers is to get in his face from the very start of the game. Something the Rams might be able to do thanks to their excellent defensive linemen. If you can do that and you can hold the ball, you can keep Aaron Rodgers off the field and give the Rams a better chance to win. One way to do that is to run the ball really effectively. When you run the ball, usually between plays, the clock continues to run, and it just shortens the game, which means there will be fewer plays overall in the entire game. The Rams might actually be able to do this. Todd Gurley, a rookie running back on the Rams, made his season debut last weekend and looked, no joke, like the best running back to enter the league since Adrian Peterson in 2007. Three more 1 o'clock games. Let's get through them. So the Jacksonville Jaguars play at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Jaguars had this giant opportunity last weekend to announce themselves to the world as a respectable team by beating the Indianapolis Colts, but they couldn't do it. Now they're 1-3 for the year and stuck in a swampy South Florida game against the Buccaneers, also 1-3 and going nowhere. That said, this could be a high-scoring game. Both teams are much stronger at wide receiver than they are at defensive back, the people assigned to keep the wide receivers from catching the ball and running into the end zone with it. I expect both teams to be able to move the ball down the field in big, thrilling chunks in this game. The New Orleans Saints play at the Philadelphia Eagles. These have been two of the most exciting offensive teams for years. They both base their play around frequent, safe, but crafty short passes, which get athletic, skilled wide receivers and running backs the ball, with space to sort of run around and make defenders look silly. It's a really good strategy, but it hasn't been working so far this year for either team. Both of them have only won one game out of the four they've each played. A 2-3 record in the first five games isn't the end of the world, but 1-4 is. Therefore, the fate of the world for both these teams rests on this game and this game alone. Finishing out the 1 o'clock games, the Washington Redskins play at the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons are 4-0 so far this year, so you'd think everyone on their team would be thrilled. Not so. Veteran wide receiver Roddy White went public with his profanity-laced frustration about having a reduced role this year. It sounds unsporting to be upset when your team is winning, but I can understand how he feels. Imagine you spent 10 years at a job, and finally, just when the company started really succeeding, maybe it's going to go public or something, your boss decides you're not good enough anymore and starts phasing you out. Yikes. Often, the week after a player goes to the media with his frustration, his team will make sure he gets the ball a bunch in that game. If that doesn't happen this weekend, White should think about editing his resume and brushing up on his LinkedIn game. There are three games that start at 4:05 or 4:25 p.m. today. The first one is the Arizona Cardinals at Detroit Lions. It's hard to sell a matchup between a 3-1 team, the Arizona Cardinals, and a 0-4 team, the Detroit Lions, as likely to be an even or a close game. What I can sell you on is that there's a good reason to root for both of these teams. The Cardinals are a lovable group, with their coach who wears a Kangol hat and speaks more honestly about his team to the press than virtually any other coach in the league, and their quarterback whose excellent career has been sidetracked by injury every time it seems like it's about to peak. The Lions, on the other hand, are coming off one of the more brutal losses this season. Their best player had the ball and was lunging into the end zone right at the last minute to win the game when an opposing defender knocked it out of his hands. That's bad luck, and a good play by the defender. But the controversy started when another defender seemed to intentionally bat the ball out of play. That's not allowed, and the Lions should have had another chance to score. But the referees seemed to momentarily forget the rules, and the Lions lost the game. Let's move to the next game, the New England Patriots at Dallas Cowboys. If you're a Patriots fan, you're either from New England, or you enjoy watching one team thoroughly outsmart another. The Patriots are coming off their bye week, which means they've had an extra week to think of devious ways to win, and, as a bonus, make the Cowboys look stupid. I can't wait to see what they've cooked up. The last late afternoon game is the Denver Broncos at Oakland Raiders. This was once the most hotly contested rivalry in the NFL. Then the Raiders sank into a 20-year-long slump, and it lost a little of its luster. This year, for the first time in memory, the Raiders look like they may have improved enough to bring interest back to this game. As a bonus, it may be the last year in Oakland for the Raiders, because they're rumored to be moving to Los Angeles. So this could be one of our last chances to see the Broncos play in Oakland, which is, you know, just this incredibly aggressive place to play. On the field, the Raiders are going to have a tough time surviving the Broncos' aggressive defense, who sacked their opponent's quarterback 7 times last week. On Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, it's the San Francisco 49ers at New York Giants. No one expects the San Francisco 49ers to win this game on national television. They're widely considered one of the worst teams in the league, their once promising quarterback is struggling, and their defense is missing most of its best players. They haven't won a game this year since the very first weekend of the season when they were... They were on national television, they were considered one of the worst teams in the league, their quarterback was struggling, and their defense was missing most of its best players. Maybe this game will be closer than we think. On Monday, to finish out the weekend, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers at San Diego Chargers, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Football is an extremely complex game. Every player on the field is responsible for knowing and reacting to a slightly different set of data. Only the best players truly master their own positions. That's why it's so extraordinary for a player to have a command of their position and their teammates' positions and act on it. That's what Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers was doing last week. So many of his offensive linemen were injured and missing the game that he was doing the seeing and reacting for the replacement players. Before every play, Rivers would put himself in the lineman's position, not physically, but just mentally, see what an experienced player in that position would see, and shout out the reaction they should have. Then he had to do the calculations for his own position and start the play. It was a virtuoso performance, and one that had a lot to do with his team winning the game. I'm interested to see him do the same in this game.
Thanks for listening to the Dear Sports Fan podcast. You can find more podcasts and tons of writing at dearsportsfan.com. If you like what you see and hear there, please subscribe. Thanks to Jesse Fisher for the theme music. He's at jessefisher.com. Have a great day.